Two Sundays ago,
we celebrated two of the most significant dates in our Christian calendar: the sacrifice of Christ and his resurrection. Although Matthew chapter 27, that was just read by Michelle, as a whole is the center of the Bible's message, from which we could draw lessons that would leave us sitting here for hours today, but we are not. I would like to call your attention to a special event in this narrative. It can be found on the verse 51, which says, "And behold, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." I trained with my daughter to do a theatrical presentation of the storm. But my daughter reminded me what happened with my pastor when I was young, when he did this. Because he did this. When the veil of the temple torn from top to bottom, as he did this, he paint torn. So torn all the way from top to bottom. And he remained preaching till the very end, far away from the Pope, here, just trying to hear what happened to him. So I'm not going to do this. But why does this narrative of the torn veil hold particular importance? It's because, according to the Old Testament, the temple was the dwelling place of God's presence. Speaking of the temple, let's pause for a moment and recall the utensils of the temple, which were the same as those in the tabernacle of the desert. The temple was divided, as you know, the temple was divided in three main sections, or three main places. The outer courtyard was where the Israelites, men, could daily offer sacrifices to the Lord, representing themselves and their family. Remember, women, they were not allowed to come inside the courtyard, so they were outside of the limits of the temple. So the men used to come and offer sacrifice for themselves and for the whole family. In that area were the altar of the sacrifice and the altar of the purification. That place was in an open space. Then there was the inner part called the holy place, where we could find the table of the showbread, and on the table was located 12 loaves representing the 12 tribes of Israel. On the other side was the menorah, the golden 7-branched candelabrum, symbolizing God's light in the Israel, and also the altar of the incense, where daily intercessory prayers were offered to God by the priest. On that part called holy place, the priest could come daily to offer the worship. And once a week, the 12 loaves were replaced to a new 12 loaves, representing, as I said, the 12 tribes of Israel. In the innermost part of the temple was the Holy of Holies, which housed the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant contained the pot of the manna, the second set of the tablets of the law, and the Aaron's rod. Only, as you know, only the high priest could access the holiest place. And that was just once a year for the atonement of the people of Israel. Between the holy place and the Holy of Holies, there was the veil that was called veil of separation. According to the Bible, according to our Bible reading today, when Jesus died on the cross, the veil of separation was torn from top to bottom. It's precisely about this veil that I'm going to preach this morning. I would like to draw your attention to two teachings or two meanings of the torn veil of the temple. First of all, the torn veil provides us access to forgiveness. What was the torn veil of the temple mean? The main meaning of the torn veil is that there is no more separation between God and us. It means that we don't need any intercessor between us and God other than Jesus. The torn veil reminds us that we don't need anything more to approach God's presence other than believing in the sufficiency of the blood of Jesus shed on the cross for us. The torn veil symbolizes that Jesus' work on the cross was complete and sufficient to grant us access to God. In other words, his work is accomplished. The torn veil is a sign of Jesus' victory over sin and death, and is proof that he perfectly fulfilled God's will for our salvation. Even though I said that the torn veil provides us access to forgiveness, I have found many people during my pastoral life that even attending church, even reading the Bible, even working for God, they have a huge difficulty to understand forgiveness for many different reasons. Because they feel extremely dirty, so they think they don't deserve the God's forgiveness. Actually, we don't deserve. That is by grace. But in a human way, they have difficulty because they think, I'm so dirty, so sinner, that I don't receive God's forgiveness. Sometimes, because they did something so terrible in the past, that they even don't forgive themselves. So they have difficulty to understand the forgiveness of God. But let's read some portions of the Bible. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, we read this. In him, or in Christ, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace. That's fantastic, isn't it? According to the riches. The Bible doesn't only say according to his grace, but to the riches of his grace. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 to 23, we read this. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is, through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is what? Is faithful. This is what we can come before him. God has already granted us unrestricted access to his presence with no veil or curtain obstructing us from approaching him. But pay attention for what I said. He granted us unrestricted access. Why am I emphasizing this? Because restrictions may arise from our end that could potentially block our full access to God. Let's read the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter 59, verse 1 and 2. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, and his ear dull that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have made a separation between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he does not hear. Although this is a sad truth, his arms are always open to receive us, and his ears are always ready to hear us. If, I want to put stress here as well, if we are ready to confess our sins. I met this couple years ago in a church that I was invited to preach, to do a conference there. And this couple came to me, and when I preached something similar to this, and he told me this, Pastor, we don't commit sin anymore. We have been attending the church for long years. We don't commit sin anymore. And I look at back at in her, in their eyes, and said, you just committed one. We are sinners. Every day we need to come before him and open our hearts and our mind and say, God, I need you. Hold my hand. Walk with me. Don't let me walk away from your tracks. Otherwise, I will fall. That should be our daily prayer. Let's return to the book of Isaiah. After saying that God's arms and ears are there for us, Isaiah adds this on chapter 59, verse 20. A redeemer will come to Zion, to those in Jacob who turn from transgression, declares the Lord. So God is always there with his arms and ears ready to embrace us and to hear our prayers. Always there. But our transgressions make the separation. It's why we need to come to him. In other words, we can enjoy God's presence through the devout practice of confession sins, according to 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. If we confess our sins, everyone has this verse memorized. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Yes. This is the message from the torn veil. Jesus provides us forgiveness, paving a road to God through his own sacrifice. But the second lesson that I want to bring to your attention, the first one was the torn veil provides us access to forgiveness. And second is the torn veil provides us access to the transforming presence of God. As previously mentioned, before Jesus' death, only the high priest could enter the most holy place of the temple. And that was just once a year. The veil symbolized the separation between humanity and God. However, Jesus' death tore that veil, signifying that now everyone has direct and everyday access to God as much as they need. I want to put stress this, as much as they need. Have you found people that think that we can't come to God to ask him his blessing, his direction for everything? I have brain. I can do my own decision. God is very occupied, very busy with great, big things. This is just a matter of looking for a job or buying a house or sending a child to college. God has no time for that. That is the kind of thing that made separation, not between him and us, but between us and him. We can come before God as much as we need. And very important, we no longer require a priest to enter God's presence on our behalf. You can ask everyone, pastors, elders, brothers and sisters, to pray with you and for you. But nothing substitute your prayer before God. This pastor came to me once and said this, "Pastor, pray for me. I'm in despair. Pray for this, 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 and this." And he said, "Okay, I will pray for you and with you." Almost 2 months later, I came to him and said, "Hey, what God has answered to you about that prayer that you asked me to pray?" He said exactly this. "What I ask you to pray for," he told me. I said, "What? If you are in despair and asking me to pray for you, and you even don't remember the situation that you asked me to pray for you, so that was impossible. I wasted my time praying for you because you didn't pray for you also. Or you even didn't pray for you. So sometimes we do this. We know that we don't need a priest to intercede for us, but sometimes we act that way. We no longer require priests to enter God's presence on our behalf. Jesus has become our true high priest and intercedes for us before God. You know this. I know this. But we need to remember, to be reminded of this truth. This free access to God granted by Jesus leads to transformation in the lives of those who experience the presence of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. For this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. Look at this. We are transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13. Now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Near, close, together. Remember this passage of the Bible, when Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands, the Bible says what? That his skin of his face was what? Was shining. Why? Because he had been speaking with God. Because he was in the presence of God. In the same way, everyone who comes into the presence of God has their lives transformed forever. They will never be the same again. Praise the Lord. But it's sad to see people sowing the curtain of the separation in their own lives and putting it back between them and God. Is this possible? Yes, it's perfectly possible. But how does it happen? It happens when they create rituals, customs, laws, rules, and liturgies that are strange to the world, to the word of God. They create things. We need to do this. We need to do that. I came to this church once. I wasn't the preacher, but was visiting, and someone is preaching. I don't know who was there preaching, but they knew that I was pastor. I was sitting there with my wife. So at the end, he invited me to do the benediction. Thank you. To do the benediction. But I was in a short sleeve because I was just visiting. And this member of the church left the church and never returned because the pastor was doing the benediction in a short sleeve. So people create strange liturgies, create rituals, create many things showing the curtain of the separation again and put in their hearts. This is how a large part of the church in the past drifted away from biblical truth. Sadly, even today, part of the church is in that way, complicating the simplicity of the gospel. And what's worse, Hebrews chapter 6 says that they are crucifying the Son of God again to their own harm and hold him up to contempt. But that is not the message of the torn veil. The true message of the torn veil shakes the earth, opens tombs, and brings the spiritually dead to life by the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. This is the greatest, the most important message of the torn veil. Yes, the torn veil provides us access to the transforming presence of God, which is available to all who believe in Jesus as the only Savior, and very important, to those who submit themselves to Jesus as their only Lord. Why am I saying these two things? Because I have found lots of people that love Jesus and seek for salvation Jesus, but doesn't want to submit themselves to the sovereignty of God, of Jesus, seeing Jesus as the only Lord of their lives. Wrapping up this moment, let me share something with you, some words from my own heart. Whenever I read the story of Christ, I feel deeply moved inside. I think about how privileged those were who saw his face and felt his divine touch. I also long for the same joy of seeing him up close, right next to me, looking into his serene and gentle eyes. Oh, how happy I would be then. I wonder what his face looked like, although I feel it was wonderful, beautiful. It inspired faith and confidence, giving everyone endless joy. When I see the engravings and painted pictures of what they say is my Lord, my heart cannot accept what's on the canvas. The painter's inspiration doesn't really represent him. I don't believe in a defeated Christ, full of bitterness, a face of pain. I believe in a Christ with a joyful face. I believe in the victorious Christ. One day, I too will see his face to face. I'm sorry. One day, I too will see him face to face. And so I believe, by faith in his grace, I will see Jesus as he truly is, in his rightful place. I wish I knew that his face looked like, although I feel in my heart that it was a beautiful beyond description. It inspired faith and confidence and brought great joy
beyond compare.
One day, yes, one day, we will see Jesus face to face. And so I believe, by faith in His grace, we will see Jesus as He truly is, in His rightful place. We will see Jesus as He truly is, the wonderful Son of God. This is the message of the torn veil. Please pray with me. Thank you, merciful God, for tearing the veil of separation between you and us, allowing us free access to you through Jesus Christ. Thank you for your forgiveness and for the transformation in our lives resulting from this reality, which we would never experience otherwise. Thank you, God, for your unlimited love and for your salvation offered through the merits of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.